Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know the dynamics of, my guess is, certain people make certain amounts of money. They become, if they don't have the ratings to sort of justify that, they become targets.
I don't even think that's it. It's expensive to run a radio station. We're buying a new transmitter for 92.9 that's going to cost $500,000 to keep us on the air and do it properly.
That's 6 months of caulk and salary here.
Start with that.
I mean, that's...
The lights in this building, we have a deal that's been in place for a long time. We're benefited employees, and don't take... I have 40 jobs here. Like,
that's right.
I'm going to bust my ass to keep working here until they tell me to go home. So
yeah. It's a challenging industry, man. It truly is. And again,
very difficult.
We've lost some people that we love and miss every day, as part of cuts,
fair.
And we've been through, I've been here since 2013. I've seen them.
Yep.
Brad, I know you've seen them,
I've seen them, and I've also taken parts of the responsibilities that they left.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, that's another unintended consequence of it, right? Or maybe it is intended. But
how I'm here,
it happens in this business, and I hate to see it, Jason. I mean, you came over here from newspapers. I mean that's all that life was.
Mm-hhm. Oh, very well.
In what, 2000? I mean, it was when 2009 kind of when I feel like that all started.
I mean, I would just stress what Brad said. Feel grateful. It's happening totally. In industries across. Not just this country, and so, yeah, I came from in the newspaper business, do it very well. I mean, I talk about it, had folks that were, I looked to as the Phil Stukenborg, all the institutional knowledge, everything else, and what do you mean? He's no longer here.
Yep.
And so, we've been living this for a while, and we've lost some, what I think about is the great people that we have lost.
Great people.
All the talent, the people, the hearts of those folks.
Yep.
Because they were a part of what made, whether it was the paper, whether it was the station,
yep.
Right? They were a huge part of the team that helped build it to get it where it is. And so you lose them along the way.
Yep.
It's tough, man. And you have to. You have to think about those folks. You got to pray for them, everything else. I mean, you have to. But be grateful that you're still standing because, again, this is going on in industries all across the board.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm proud of the run that we've had. I mean, we've been through COVID. We've been through, all kinds of iterations, man, of this place, and we continue to chug along, and I hope that it continues. But I'm not under any kind of false pretense about that either.
Give us a call if you're interested in sponsorship.
Brad just mentioned it. The Howies over at Robert Irwin Jewelers and Leaders. We can't thank you enough because again, we our listeners, they're locked in, but it's those folks advertising with us, man.
But I would say I think we're good stewards for our partners too. I think you guys obviously when you guys speak, people listen. Your local people who live here, your dollars are walking for you. So
I always say this: every single person that we've ever had that's advertised with. And I can only speak to, our show because I deal with them. But every single person that's done this for any amount of time, they continue to do it for the most part. I mean, you have people that come in for 3 months and they can't do more than that, right? They do what they can. But
that's why Jennifer's been so special.
Jennifer Carson and her team at the Live Love Group.
They've been with us rocking the entire time.
I just cannot. I mean, seriously.
The trust she's put in us to put out the word. About
I honestly think that
humbled by
some chance we're not even here if not for her. Because she has been with us since 2018.
Through COVID, too. She didn't stop advertising during COVID with y'all.
It is such a privilege to be able to tell the story of what she is doing every single day.
Privilege.
And again, I think she wouldn't do it. She's not doing this for charity. I think she, it's good. It's good for her business, but her business has been a godsend to ours. Yep. And to the ability to, you know, my friends at Black Tie Movement have been with me for 6 years here on this show. Robert Irwin Jewelers, you talk about. Absolutely. And we
Leaders, our studio sponsor, who have been in the market now for a couple of years.
I hope these people understand, you know, obviously, yes, you know, it's about marketing and optics for their business, but also the things that they do indeed make possible, because I do like to think that 92.9 has become an institution, a staple in the Memphis community. But it doesn't exist. We don't get federal funding here.
Yeah, right? And I think people don't, and I'll say this as the program director of this station, since we're on this and we're doing a segment on it, let's go there. I think people do take it for granted, John. I think people don't realize how tenuous it is until it's gone. Because
right.
As brands, you withhold the strength and you assume strength always. It's like the Grizzlies. We assume
right.
so many things about being a franchisor until a lease negotiation goes on. And then you whisper, will they leave?
Right.
And it's like radio stations just sort of go away. Look at FM 100.
It happens all
you know,
the time.
We sold a station
really
and we were forced to make a difficult decision about a format to
That's
move
right.
the wolf on there
That's
because
right.
we lost one of our signals in a former iteration of our company owner. We have a new iteration. We're a new formed company. Same name, new company, not public. I say all that to say, please don't take it for granted if you're a loyal listener to this station, because if you don't support it, and that includes the advertisers, if you don't support it, it does go away. It's just a fact. And it's like your local restaurant that you love.
Yep.
So I hate interjecting myself. I'm the program director. I'm sitting over here, and I enjoy the hell out of this show and the station. Take it for granted.
That's not a warning so much as it is a, hey, like, it's happening
it's not
around
a warning.
The country.
It's the same story as the restaurant. Like, last night I went to the Forest Hill Grill. My wife and I don't go out to dinner a lot. It is expensive, and we chose Forest Hill Grill. It's loaned by the Barzilza family, I think, owns it. It's here in town. It's local. It's not a chain. And we actually made a strategic decision, and that's part of it. You know, that restaurant was loaded last night, and I hope it'll still be there. But it's the same with your radio station, folks.
That's right. That's exactly right. So anyway, longer way of saying, you know, all the best to everybody that's impacted.
We should get him on. Hell, he used to come on the show all the time.
Well, he's got some free
time. He's got time now.
All
no,
right?
you guys have good relationships with these guys.
But yes, thoughts to everybody that is impacted. You know, I've never gotten that call. I hope I never get it. I suspect that if I do this job long enough, it will happen. But it's certainly not the end of the world at all. And I'm sure Sean will land on his feet and be okay. But yeah, always crazy times in the media business, man. There is no doubt about that. Rob Dosh is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about college basketball and Memphis. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to film? Yes. We were just talking about Jonathan Gannon, the Cardinals coach, who was caught on video putting his hands on Cardinals running back Imari DiMercato after he let go of the ball before crossing the plane. Said he apologized to his team and then was fined $100,000.
By the organization, yeah.
Yeah, by the organization. And then more news today about the Cardinals. Kyler Murray not practicing. So you kind of have a lot of things going wrong. And you kind of asked the question during the break is, you know, can he coach this team? Can he coach this team again? Because – that does feel like something that in 2025, like, there's just, you can't do.
I'm with you. I do think it's interesting. I wonder, and it's he's going to be coaching that team this week. But when John says, can he coach this team, here's what we mean. Can he have its respect back? Are they going to follow him? You know, when you've had an incident like that, and the way I boil it down to John, I was just thinking, reading this story about him getting fined by the organization. And he said this in his public comments afterwards. But what he said to those men in that locker room or meeting room or wherever it transpired, however, you know, in grouping them together, he said, I apologize to them. Boy, you know, that apology better have been pretty sincere.
Agreed.
Because we know the deal. We know the facts of it. A lot of guys in that locker room, I mean, NFL's predominantly black league. And listen, he didn't hit DiMercato. You know, he brushed up against him, made contact. It wasn't something where DiMercato was getting pushed down and embarrassed, but it's a no-no. And we talk about it in college, particularly with young athletes, right? And, of course, you don't do this in the NFL where you're talking grown men who have kids.
Yep.
They haven't been touched. They, They hadn't been touched in years. Their mom and daddy touched them. They got kids now, and more importantly, in some of these cases, they're being paid more than you as the head coach.
Absolutely. Got it?
And so how do you get the respect back of a team, right, when this story's gone out, it's gone viral, it's a bad look for your organization, it's a bad look individually for you as a head coach, as a leader of men. First, number one, they tell you to keep you cool. Now, you can go off on folks, but you can't do it in terms of making yourself an embarrassment or embarrassing the organization. That is what he did. And so, listen, what he has said publicly, a lot of people like Jeff Saturday over at ESPN now, a former, I guess, coach himself at this point.
Yep.
Obviously, the Colts legend, center.
Yes.
He said that
– got a win over the Raiders.
He's buying – he did somehow beat the Raiders, but that doesn't take much. He's somehow – he's buying – I shouldn't say somehow. He's buying, you know, Gannon's apology. He mm-hmm. thought it was sincere and heartfelt. He was speaking of the public apology, which is one thing and was necessary. But to get those dudes behind him again, man, it's all going to come down to how, you know, how apologetic, how heartfelt.
Yep.
Forget apologetic, because you can be apologetic, just say the words, yep, and not, you know, not have it in your heart.
Absolutely.
It's going to have come out of his soul, I feel like, for those guys to buy into him again. Remember, Arizona's been a mess, you know, for these last, this is second year on the job. They've been an absolute mess. And so, unlike, I would say this is the last point I'm going to make on it, because the story points out that Gannon's the first NFL coach fined for an altercation with a player since Bruce Arians, then with Tampa Bay, was hit with a $50,000 fine for an incident with safety Andrew Adams. I just wonder, and we've asked the same question about Bruce Arians, and he certainly still seemed to go on and command the respect of his team. I just wonder, is that a coach who had done it long enough to do that?
Yep.
Where whatever apology that came from Bruce Arians, heartfelt, not whatever, they bought it again, because this is a guy with a track record, let's be real, more so than Jonathan Gannon. And I'd ask the question this way. Has he already ruined any chance he's got of being an NFL head coach because of this? Because, again, more optics.
Yep.
But you have to lead these men.
Yeah.
So you better hope these men are bought into that apology. All the way bought in.
No, I think it's really a big problem. Because you already, you know, and again, this is just his track record. You already have iffy leadership with Kyler Murray at quarterback, right? So, just has never been talked about or held up as a great leader, right? So you have him, and now you have your head coach who is
his third season. My bad.
Yeah, he's been there for a minute. You know, former Eagles defensive coordinator.
4-13, 8-9, 2-3 this season.
Yes, but you have. You know, now you have a coach that's, you know, again, I think everybody understood the frustration. Everybody felt that because, you know, they lost as a result of this, you know, stupid decision.
Well, they were also still winning.
They
when
were.
He fumbled
were,
that ball.
Right, it was a team. It was cool, a team loss. You know? It was a team loss. But I think you're at major risk of a 2-3 team with quarterback injuries now. Just check it out.
You make a great point, because Kyler is not a leader in there. That's not somebody that necessarily they can trust at this point. Fall behind. He's always out there. He's leading us to win. He makes us better. So it better be your coach.
That's right.
That you're falling in behind. And in this case, boy, he is greatly undermined his ability, I would say, his own ability to, you know, keep this team behind him. Again, depending upon, he may, dude, he, I'm, they call me the weeping deacon. He may have cried in that apology. That's what's going to have happened.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something heartfelt. Something more than what he said publicly. Hey, man, I woke up the next morning. I didn't feel good about it. Like, that's one thing what you said publicly. It better have been a lot more heartfelt to those guys, or else they're not going to look at you as a guy they can follow. Keep in mind, you don't have some great track record of success.
That's right.
Like we've seen with other guys, Bruce Arians. Maybe he had a little more credibility, a little equity built up.
Yep.
Because of the coach that he was. I don't know about Gannon. He may have already, you know, finished his career.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, unless you can find a way. I mean, they have the Colts in Indianapolis this week.
Big. I mean, that's how you start.
Yeah.
You know, because with everybody's counting you out right now, but you need Kyler Murray, it feels like to me, to do that.
Interestingly enough, it's a matchup that pits the former Eagles coordinators at the same time. Shane Steichen in there in Indy, and then he was doing the offense, and then, of course, Gannon was doing the defense. So. But, I mean, it doesn't matter if you don't have your starting quarterback. I mean, ain't nobody beating these Colts, even with their starting quarterback.
It's shaky. You know, only so many heads can roll because some are paid. You know, some bosses just got there, and that's what I'm saying. That head coach is one that always come up. And, you know, having set yourself up here, you do what, you know, what this football team kind of looks like in terms of where it's headed right now. Oh, man, they're going to call it. They're going to call it a, a tenure for you after three seasons.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely it is like, you know.
Slippery slope he's on.
Separate of that.
Not like, rooting against him. Maybe he gets it back like Arians did.
Right.
But, we'll see.
Like, what do they do with Kyler after this year? Like, what's his success?
Well, the problem with that is who's going to take him from you when they know the book's out on him?
He signed a five-year deal in 2022.
Right, you got to trade him. Who's taking him?
So
Raiders?
No, I don't think so.
You need to go find your own in this draft coming up. Exactly.
I think you're just kind of stuck. Yeah, because like
they are stuck.
Yeah, because it's. I mean, it's. Yeah, you're stuck. I'd say it, man.
Dude, they should have moved off of him the moment they knew. You know what we got to put in this contract? We got to make him watch film.
He's got.
That's the guy you don't want to sign to a long-term deal. When you got to put that in the deal.
That's right.
Remember that's a bad sign, bro.
Yeah,
that's where you probably should have decided. We're at a crossroads. That, hey, it might be a step back.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, Kyler Murray, what we invested, but this ain't the one.
Man, he got a $230 million deal.
Bro, they're locked in. Nobody's gonna take that deal off their hands. Not even a dumb franchise like Cleveland or Cincy.
And his cap hit
certainly not. Cincy
his cap hit goes up. Like his cap hit is set 15% this year. It goes up to $53 million and 70% of the cap next season at age 29. Like, this is a disastrous contract for the Arizona Cardinals, man. I mean, jeez. They can get off of him after the 2027 season, but you got two more years of this because you got a team option after 2027. You got two more years of Kyler Murray.
Bro, I wouldn't want to coach it. Say Gannon gets fired.
Absolutely.
You're bringing me in and I still got him? I'll wait till the next one, especially if I'm some hot coordinator.
I mean, here's the deal. You could just bench him and he just makes the money as his backup. I mean, that's what you'd have to do, like Kirk Cousins is doing in Atlanta, right? Like he's making the money.
You don't have to have your GM on board for that.
But it's like, I can't win with this guy. Has Kyler Murray ever had, maybe he had one year where he was a winning.
Again, Kingsbury's teams would start out great,
right,
but they would nosedive.
Yes.
And then going before that, maybe one. I don't know, you know.
Kyler Murray has had a winning record one time in his career.
Once.
And it was that year where they started 7-0 or 6-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, and it took that, you know. I mean, it legitimately took that. He was 9-5 that year. I think he got hurt at some point. But he's never been better than, I mean, he was 8-9 last year. He's on pace to be 8-9 again if he even finishes the year. So, man, and he's only been in the playoff one time, and he was terrible. He was absolutely awful in that game, threw two picks.
And he's got the big money. Man.
And he's got the they pay this dude $230 million. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, 5-10-1 is rookie year, 8-8 his second year, 9-5, I guess you're coming off of that year. That's what it was.
Daniel Jones got the contract with the Giants, you know.
Man, you want to talk about timing. Dude, the timing of
giving them just enough to make them believe.
Just enough, man. Finally, they're like, all right, okay, we were 5-10 the year before. We're 8-8, then they're now 9-5. We had 11-6 record overall.
Again, but the clues were everywhere, dude,
no
with
question.
The non-study and stuff. I mean, you had your chance to move off this dude.
And exactly.
What face of a franchise, you know, is doing? He won't get on his film. He's
terrible.
He's playing video games.
Playing damn video games.
Like, come on, bro. We're talking about millions of dollars here we're investing.
All right, we'll come back. Rob Dosh is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis college basketball and more. Jason and John.
Yeah, they're rolling out the VIP carpet for you, right? The red carpet is going to be there. They're saying, look, the biggest reason why we exist as a conference right now is because of the support and love we get from one John Martin at 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis.
Is it true that they requested that you guys not allow me to attend this as part of the company? Can you confirm or deny that report?
I cannot confirm or deny that report. If asked, I'm going to swallow a cyanide tablet, but I will just say that the words banned for life may or may not have been mentioned.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. We're banning each other. How's that? We're banning each other from this damn thing. So, listen, there's a lot to get to today on the show. I do want to start with something that we've talked about today on the show, And I wouldn't really expect you to be as intimately familiar with the dynamics, but I would sort of love your opinion on Memphis basketball's attendance. It hasn't been the same. It has not been the same when you think about, you know, even the earliest years of Josh Pastner when it was, you know, 15, 16,000 consistently. You know, those numbers just aren't being hit anymore. And Penny Hardaway talked about it yesterday. You know, he said that we don't have the fandemonium like we used to, you know, and that could be a combination of downtown Memphis's state. It could be a combination of a bunch of different things. Do you think that is a Memphis problem? Do you think that is a college basketball problem in terms of attendance? Can winning fix something like that? And when I say winning, I mean going to the second weekend consistently. Just give me your assessment of the attendance at Memphis and whether or not that's a problem exclusive to the Tigers.
I don't think it's a problem exclusive to Memphis. I think it's a problem across all sports, right? Like the viewing experience that you get when you are at home where you can you know, flip through channels where you can see replays, where you got this 75-inch flat screen with the sound bar, and you know, you can, instead of spending $17 on a kind of a warm Miller Lite, you can just go walk to your fridge and get whatever you want for free $99, right? I just think that the viewing experience of sports at home has become much better than what you get when you are at an arena, especially when you're not going to like these elite environments, right? Like the truth about college basketball is that if you are going to watch the best basketball that you want to be able to watch, like if you're going there to see the highest level of this sport that we all love, you're not going to a college game, you're going to the NBA, right? If you are going to a college basketball game, it's because you're going there for the atmosphere. You're going there for the crazy student sections. You're going there because it's going to be loud and it's going to be exciting because you have some kind of emotional investment into that team and that program. And when Memphis is not winning the way that they want to be able to win, when you constantly see roster turnover, when you have players that is very difficult for you to be able to kind of emotionally invest yourself in, right? When there's new pieces every year, it's hard to justify spending the money that you got to spend to be able to go to some of these games. And it's not just Memphis, it's everywhere. Especially when, you know, you got another basketball team that plays in that same building that happens to be good and maybe has a little bit more exciting high-level talent that is playing. So I think there's a lot of things that go into it, but I will say this. If you find a way to be able to get players coming back year over year where you have kids that these fans can buy into and relate to and can watch and can see grow and can find a way to invest in emotionally instead of just having a jersey that you root for every year, I'd be a lot more willing to part with my hard-earned dollars to go see them play than I would right now when it's like, all right, well, I'm going to see this kid, but he's also making $2 million and he's probably not going to be here next year because, you know, everyone's only here for the paycheck, right? Like that's kind of the hard part of where we are with college basketball right now.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I don't think it's any just one thing. But let me ask you this. How much of it is internal program accountability? In other words, Memphis hasn't made a Sweet 16 appearance since 2009. You could argue that Penny should have at the very least won because they should have beaten FAU and they would have beaten Fairleigh Dickinson, right? They would have been 17, 18 point favorites, just like FAU was, and they would have won that game.
Hang the banner, John. Hang the banner
all
now.
All I'm saying is they
would have made the Sweet 16. Hang the banner.
But they didn't. They should have, and they didn't. And I do think that has cumulative trauma on a fan base when you're asking them year after year, hey, come back, come keep supporting. And the product hasn't really given back to the fans. So would this be different? Would we be having these conversations if instead of no Sweet 16 appearances, Memphis had one or two in the time that Penny got the job?
I think probably, right? Like, I think that you would still run into those same issues. You know, if you made an NCAA a Sweet 16 3 years ago, is anybody really going to remember it right now? Like, has it really changed the way that you feel about this program? 3 years ago might as well be 30 years ago for me.
Fair enough.
Maybe that's just because I have two kids that keep me busier than anything. But I don't disagree with your point that it's the lack of success has been a problem. Here's another part of it too, right? Like, when I build out my schedule, right? Like, I live and breathe college basketball. When I build out my schedule for the games that I want to go to, it's like, all right, let me find where two great games are going, or two great teams are going to play. Let me find a game where there's going to be a lot on the line when it comes to
what this result means, right? I'm going to find a way to get to a UConn St. John's game this year because that's going to be, you know, the environment's going to be good, but you also have two top five coaches that are interesting and intriguing and that pretend to be nice but don't like each other. I'm going to find a way to be able to get to a Purdue Michigan game because I know that that might mean you see two of the best players in college basketball, two first teams All-Americans, and it might determine the Big Ten regular season title. You want to get to last year was Auburn-Alabama because of the rivalry, but because the SEC championship was on the line. Kentucky-Louisville, like, there's games that you circle because they mean something, because there's talent there and this, the big brands that you're playing. If you're Memphis, you're probably like it's more exciting for you to go on the road when Wichita State can say, hey, I got a chance to go see Memphis play. Mm-hmm. What do you like? Do you want to go see Tulsa? Like, UConn ran into the same thing when they were in the AAC. Why would it? What excites a college basketball fan about seeing some of those opponents right now in the way that, that stands? And I think that that also has an impact on the way that fans view that conference, right? And there's not much that Memphis can do about that, but it is something that I think impacts it. Because I know that when when UConn was playing in that league, it was kind of hard for me to stay as engaged as I wanted to be, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think a big part, I mean, winning is number one, but and you guys touched on this, losing a P.J. Haggerty. Like, you're exasperated as a college basketball fan. You just bought P.J. Haggerty's jersey because last year, boy, he blew up second-team AP All-American. And, oh, by the way, he's still in college. He's at Kansas State. So how do I get my kid up for the next one, right, when he could be out of here after a year? You've lost that. That 08 team had guys that were around for 3 or 4 years, you know, in terms of that group. You brought Derrick Rose in to top it off. And so you've lost part of that fabric of college athletics that tied you, right, tied you to the fan.
And here's the biggest issue, and this goes far beyond Memphis, guys. The biggest issue is that you're losing a generation of fans that would grow up being college basketball.
Absolutely.
Like, the reason why I'm a college basketball fan, I grew up in the state of Connecticut, and I watched Khalid El-Amin come in from being this, like, fat, chunky dude that couldn't do anything when I was 12 years old, and then when I was 14, I watched him jump on the scorer's table and say, we shocked the world and brought Connecticut a national championship, yep. Right? I saw him grow into that player 100%. In the formative years of, like, my sports fandom, right?
Yep.
I watched all that happen, and now what 11-year-old kid in Memphis is going to go watch P.J. Haggerty, see him leave, and say, like, why would – if he was just an All-American here, right, they just won 30 games. He just won 30 games for this program, playing for Penny in Memphis, where Penny is a god in Memphis. And then he left. Like, if he doesn't want to be a fan of this program, like, why Why would I want to be – like, he took a pay cut. You don't think fans noticed that he took a pay cut to go somewhere else?
No, it's deflating, to say the least.
That stuff resonates. Yeah. And I think that we're seeing that everywhere – in college basketball, yep. Right? Like, it's great when you have students that are engaged and people that go to that school that are engaged. But you want to know why Kentucky's got the biggest fan base in America? It ain't because every single person in the state of Kentucky has a Kentucky degree, right? You want to know why Michigan football is, like, one of the biggest brands in college athletics? It's not because every Michigan football fan has a Michigan University degree, right?
Yep.
It's because the people in that state grew up rooting for that program because that's what they had at that moment in time in their life. And I think that we're losing that. It's not just college basketball. It's not just Memphis basketball. It's not just the Tigers. I think that that's a problem everywhere. And I think the programs where you see an emphasis put on that development and put on keeping players involved and player retention and kind of that growth.
Yep.
Like, Purdue probably has – I don't think that there's a crazier fan base right now than Purdue in college athletics. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, hey, Braden Smith was a National Player of the Year.
Right.
We saw him as a freshman.
Back.
Fletcher Lawyers is all Big Ten. We saw him as a freshman. Trey Coffin, they're superstars or guys that have been there 4 years, and they watch them grow and develop. Same thing with Zach Edey. We need that at more places. That has to be the priority when it comes to – when you want to talk about fixing college basketball, create an incentive that allows players – to be able to maximize what they do by coming back to school.
Yep.
The system is set up where the most money you can make in your life as a professional is by putting your name in the portal and going somewhere else. And how can you fault a kid that might never make like $100,000 playing professional basketball anywhere else that he goes any other time in his life from putting his name in the portal and going in and making $2 million? How are you going to hate on that kid for doing that? but it ruins the sport for the people that consume it. And I think that is long-term a very, very unhealthy thing for college basketball.
I'm with you 100%. You know, Penny even touched on that. There's seven or eight guys, I think he said was the number, that he wants to keep. He's got to find a balance where you're bringing something back in terms of your roster and not having to replenish it all full the entire year. You know, chemistry issues, you don't know until you start the games. And I'd kind of frame the question there with you, Rob. How much tougher is your job, especially this time of year, in this era? You just talked about it. Some teams have entirely new rosters, right, to know who's good. And how often do you find yourself saying, okay, my best teams are, like you said, Purdue. They've got guys back. Florida, they've got guys back. How often are those the ones that are at the top? It just seems so much more difficult now when you've got these entirely new rosters. Who knows how they're going to play together?
Well, look at the teams that made the Final Four last year, right? Like, last year's Final Four probably had the four best teams we've ever seen at a Final Four. I would make the argument, and I don't know if you guys agree, but I would make the argument that last year was probably the best Final Four I've ever seen, from how good the teams were, how
awesome.
Good the games were, how exciting the storylines were, everything about it. And look at how those teams were built, right? Florida had brought basically everyone back from the year before.
John wrote about this. That's right. That's right. Yep.
Houston might be like the program when it comes to player retention and player development, right? It doesn't matter what the names are on the back of that uniform. You just know exactly what you're going to get because those guys are Houston basketball players. Auburn, I think, last year brought in like one or two transfers. There were transfers in that program, but it was guys like Chad Baker Mazzara that had been there for a couple of years, and Jani Broome, who had been there for 3 years, and players that had kind of grown up in that program, even if they started someplace else. And even a place like Duke, like, they didn't build everything through the transfer portal. They built everything through recruiting. So it's not like those guys were with the program for a couple of years, but every Duke fan in America knew who Konkan Nipple was for 2.5 years because he committed whenever he does and through the recruitment process. So I think the fact that that happened in the year where the best Final Four we've ever seen with all programs that had built from within, I think tells you everything you need to know about how you need to have success. Even UConn, the years that they won it, it was whole thought. They built around the player retention and then added from the portal in spots where they needed to add.
Yep.
That's what you need to do to be able to win in college basketball in 2025.
Talking to Rob Doster, co-founder of Field of 68. Again, they're going to be doing Media Day at the American on Monday in Birmingham. So we look forward to that. No question about that. Last thing before we get you out of here, Rob. We talk about, you know, the things that aren't good for the fans, right? We talk about this current climate that's not good for the average fan. And then the NCAA drops this bomb that it is going to be an expansion to 76. I know it's not official, but obviously it feels like that's exactly where we're headed next year. And not only is it going to expand to 76, there's going to be this convoluted opening round where, you know, AQs play the lowest at large. Like, it feels like they are just ruining this thing for the sake of ruining it. I don't quite understand it.
Yeah, it's about my take, and I this is not sourced. This is just me reading the tea leaves and being a conspiracy theorist. My take is that part of the reason why you're hearing things about the Big Ten and the the SEC maybe considering leaving the NCAA behind and all this stuff when it comes to investment money coming in and all that kind of stuff is because those conferences are kind of saying, if you don't expand, then we are going to find a way to be able to cut the NCAA out of all of this, right? That's just kind of my hot take and conspiracy theory on the way this is happening. So I think the NCAA's hand is kind of being forced. You know, I've made my peace with it. I hate the fact that we're going to 76. I don't think that's what we should be doing. If we are going to do that, I think what should happen is on Tuesday and Wednesday, you have four different four-team MTE locations. And so do it at, like, one in Dayton and then do one in Fog Allen Fieldhouse and then do one at, like, the Palestra and then do one at, like, the Kennel at Gonzaga and have four teams show up. You play two games on Tuesday night. The winners play on Wednesday night. And then whoever wins that game goes and plays a first-round game against somebody else on Friday. So that's what I think we should do when it comes down to all of this. But no one likes my ideas. No one ever listens to me, especially not Sean Martin.
Nah, man, you're the best. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Rob. Great stuff.
And I look forward to getting back in the mix here soon, man. It'll be here before we know it. So I appreciate you as always.
All right, I'll see you in Birmingham, right, John?
You got it, man. I'm on the way. I'm going to get there before you guys. I'm going to set everything
first round,
up.
First round's on you.
Me and Tim Pernetti going to go after it, man.
You're going to need it in Birmingham.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, brother.
Later, guys.
He is Rob Doster, co-founder of Field of 68. All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Wednesday. Jason and John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got trying to find ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best team in Memphis. When you are making a big decision like this, you want to make sure that you're informed, that you're getting the best advice, the best guidance, and that's what Jennifer and her team are going to bring every single day of the week. They're accessible, they're transparent, they're honest, they give results, man. I'm telling you, you want to make the most money for your home in 2025, that's the team that's going to help you do it, but you got to reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
They also speak Spanish and Mandarin, just in case you speak Spanish and Mandarin. That's how talented they are over at Live Love. They can do it in English, too. Whatever language, really. They'll get it done for you. They're going to get you the most money for that home. Jennifer's Key is pricing it right from the get-go, so you're not left out there hanging, having to decrease the price, on the market for weeks, terms into months. You know how the story goes. Don't let it go that way. Call Live Love. 901-625-5200. Again, see why Jennifer Carsonson is so great at what she does. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Somebody that may be putting their home on the market here, maybe they are just renting, but Chapel Bill.
Oh, boy, I saw they had a disciplined assistant.
Chapel Bill.
It's a mess.
According to 247 Sports, potential exit strategy discussions happened this morning in Chapel Hill.
Wow.
And while it does not mean he'll be fired. Preliminary conversations about that possibility have already taken place. The goal, according to 247, is to eliminate or minimize his buyout. And they are trying to figure out if they can do that and use these rules violations as cause. Obviously, that's reports have come out that an assistant coach was suspended for providing extra benefits to player families. Which I didn't even think existed in 2025.
I haven't heard that phrase in a long time, have we?
It's like a 2010 story. I mean, kind of made me miss the old days, you know? Back when folks getting benefits and tickets and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But according to 247, there are many other violations that have occurred, many of them on the recruiting front. And at the end, he said he did add this writer, Andrew Jones, added at the end, his opinion on the matter is that I don't think it's a lock that Belichick coaches the Cal game, which is 9 days away. I guess they have an off week, mercifully. But, it seems like UNC is trying to get out from under this disaster.
Well, if they're serious about correcting this mistake, they should acknowledge that it was a mistake and do what you have to do. Listen, we've said this was a circus from the get-go.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think any of us thought that this was going well. In fact, it's only seemed to get worse. And as we said, maybe this story is sort of, you know, materializing as all a part of that. They're finding every little thing they can on him. As John said, get that number as low as they can and get him out of there.
Yep.
And again, you had Michael Jordan, Mia Hamm, Lawrence Taylor, all in that suite to start the year. Like all the North Carolina legends had come out. And you give them this.
Yep.
They are embarrassed. Those folks that I mentioned, the boosters and everybody else, and you don't let this continue,
right?
And so yeah, you have to do everything in your power to change it because again, Bill Belichick, you know, the NFL knew, I'm done with him.
Yep.
And imagine Bill Belichick running up behind assistants to see if they've he doesn't care about that stuff.
He just wants to coach football. Yeah. So you got the wrong man, because there's a lot more to it now in college athletics.
Yep.
This is on North Carolina in the end.
Oh, totally.
It's not on Bill Belichick. It's not on the girlfriend. You know, because y'all brought that to North Carolina thinking, oh, man, this is going to be great.
Yep.
This is going to be fun. We got us a man. It's a good fit. Man, please.
Exactly. So,
yeah. They're going to have to do this, and you need to do it this year.
You do need to do it this year.
Don't let this linger into next year. You could ruin your program, do damage to your program that you can't recover from.
That's right.
Recruits going to look at you as a joke, even after Bill Belichick. I'm not going to North Carolina, a joke.
That's right. Yep.
Nah, man, you don't embarrass MJ and live to tell about it.
Yep. That's true. You don't let him down. Yeah, this has been, the whole thing is unserious. The whole thing is just unserious, totally. They gave him $20 million in NIL, you know? But the CBS interview with the girl where, you know, they couldn't ask about, I don't even remember what she bristled up about.
Don't forget the Pablo story, too, where he got what looked like the real, which was them getting him, you know, out of the facility, she's not whatever, and... Now, then they had to put up a statement to say, oh, that's wrong. I mean, the thing's been a mess.
Yeah, no, it's been a
hot mess.
It's been really, really bad. And, you know, I don't know what, I mean, I guess UNC.
Bring back Mac Brown.
Yeah.
Doesn't he look like Don Shula now?
I mean,
yes. This man?
Yes.
Again, look, this is another job opening for Ryan Silverfield. Right? I mean, North Carolina opening up. Yeah, it's not so funny anymore, is it? You know, that laugh got cut mid.
No, I'll be laughing.
Chortle over there. It's not so funny anymore.
I would be joyous.
Because
I'll tell you this, I mean, if Arkansas is interested in Lashley, that's who you go for first, right? A lot of people have mentioned Silverfield for Arkansas. I don't know if he gets it if Lashley's involved.
Yeah, Lashley
involved.
Seems
so maybe you're North Carolina.
SMU, UNC. You know, I mean, there's
Silverfield
a lot
going
of.
ACC. Maybe that's.
I mean, that's an autonomy conference.
I think that makes more sense to me than Arkansas does, especially if they. Are hot for last year.
And the pressure to win at North Carolina football will not be as high.
It'll go way down.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to be competent. They'll be excited about that.
Yep.
You know, so it's just, you know, there's always ripple effects.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ryan Silverfield succeeds Bill Belichick? That would be crazy. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Norton Heard the Fourth. Thanks to Rob Doster for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next on Miss It. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.